This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Nice to catch up with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 20 years in the NBA with the Bucks and the Lakers, and of course is the highest scoring player in NBA history, collected six NBA titles, six regular season MVP championships, and two finals MVP awards. Kareem, I know that you're working with the big men, the centers with the LA Lakers, and I'm just wondering, when you take a look at big men in the NBA today, what is it that you see that you like about them, and what is it that they don't do that you and the other big men when you played did?
Well, I think the average athlete in the NBA is such a great athlete. You know, they have great athletic skills and a joy for playing the game. I think the thing that bothers me the most from what I see is the fact that they're not fundamentally sound. They don't get the opportunity to learn the game from the vantage of their college years. I think those years are really crucial in producing a professional basketball player. Of course, all the money in the game now really is drawing people out of high school, and they go and all the best athletes leave high school and go straight to the pros. But they suffer a little bit in the fact that they don't get a chance to learn the game in the more relaxed college atmosphere and do the other things that they need to do to mature personally and get to that point where they can be great NBA players.
Also, the fact that the NBA game has evolved really toward the perimeter a little bit more than it has the big men, and maybe that's because they haven't had the dominant big men like you, Bob Lanier, Will Chamberlain, and others like that. Is that another reason for the lack of development of centers today in the NBA?
I think so much emphasis has been on the three-point shot. You know, young players coming up, they want to shoot three-point shots or they want to dunk. Playing the game, you know, 4 to 8 feet from the hoop, which is the classic way that the centers played, you know, that isn't taught very well anymore. So the fact that they're not getting the instruction that they need to play the game in that part of the court really has, I think, hurt the game. Teams that are able to get high percentage shots usually do very well. Look at the Boston Celtics. You know, they're not necessarily a three-point shooting team. They play the game from the free throw line in and get high percentage shots.
Kareem, one of the things I always admired about your game is that you were 7'2", but when you came into the league, you were about 225 pounds. Now, there was Will Chamberlain. He had more bulk on him. Bob Lanier, like I mentioned as well. And I think of the other big men. They were bigger centers, but you always had great success. Was that because you looked at the game from a strategic standpoint, not just from a size standpoint?
Well, you know, I had to look at the game from a strategic standpoint because I was never going to be a bruiser, you know, like Wilt, like you mentioned. But I knew that I could run the court, and I had a quickness and agility and a number of things that would make me an effective player. And I focused on those. I didn't necessarily feel I had to play the game the way everyone else did.
Also, it's always been said about a big man's mentality, and I've never quite understood what that is. Can you help me a little bit with that?
The big man's, I think for me, I see it in my pupil. He wants to dunk everything. If he could dunk every shot, that would he'd be the happiest guy in the world. But that's not the way the game is played. You're not going to get those opportunities. You have to have some versatility to your game, and it takes a while to get those lessons, to impart those lessons. But once that's done, it seems that things work out.
You mentioned about the fact that players get a chance to develop in the college ranks when you were coming up, and of course now they jump in after 1 year to NBA professional basketball. The fact that you went to UCLA with John Wooden and how structured his system was and everything, did that lay the foundation for you being the strong fundamental player that you were?
I think when I got to UCLA, John Wooden was able to build on what I'd already started to learn in high school. My high school coach was tremendous at teaching the fundamentals of the game, and he admired the Celtics, Bill Russell Celtics. And my high school was only 12 blocks away from the old Madison Square Garden. So I got many opportunities to go and watch Bill Russell play, and I learned a lot about team play watching those guys. Tommy Heinsohn, Satch Sanders, Sam Jones, Casey Jones, Bob Cousy, Bill Sharman, Frank Ramsey, John Havlicek. You know, all those guys, I watched those teams play and got a great understanding of what team play was supposed to be all about and how if you got five or eight guys getting high-percentage shots and working to get high-percentage shots, that would overcome one player going out there and getting 30 points.
Kareem, the other feeling I always had was that the Lakers of the 80s might have been the last team to win a championship in the NBA. And what I mean by that, even if you take a look at the Chicago Bulls, it was Michael, Scotty, the Worm, and then role players and everything. But when I think about the Lakers, everybody contributed to that. I mean, Michael Cooper was there, you were there, Magic was there, Jamal Wilkes was there, all of you collectively. Is that about the last time maybe the team effort came into play, that image of a team winning a championship in the league?
I think what you're talking about is you saw contribution in depth. It wasn't just two or three guys, like you mentioned. It was contribution in depth. Dudes that came off the bench and helped us. Bob McAdoo came off the bench, was a role player, did a great job. And all of them were from great basketball programs. And, you know, I think that's what you're referring to, the fact that it wasn't just three guys, it was eight guys, and they all knew how to play together. You could mix them all up in any amounts, and they still would come off and play together. That was so important.
At Milwaukee, you had success in your rookie year. You all won the NBA championship, and then I think after 5 years, you came over to the Lakers. And really, the Lakers didn't have a lot of success as far as winning championships until they made that draft pick of Magic Johnson in 79. What was it that Johnson Magic brought to the team that was missing?
Well, I think we had the fundamentals of a great team, but we needed a good point guard. And we needed some help on the boards, and you know, Irvin was the perfect player to fill that role. All of a sudden, we had a point guard that could run the offense, and then we had an extra rebounder. You know, at six, he was almost 6'10". He was 6'9". That really enabled him to be an effective rebounder, and his ability to run our offense really gave our team, rather, what we needed to make it to the top.
I know your dad was a policeman back in New York, but he also, I was surprised to learn this, was a jazz musician. What effect did that have for you? I know you love jazz, but what was that like in the early part of your life in learning the love for jazz?
Well, you know, because of my dad, I got to listen to everything. My dad worshipped Duke Ellington and Count Basie. So, you know, I got to listen to all of that, and a music education in my house was an absolute necessity. It was something that you couldn't escape, whether you liked it or not. But the music was so wonderful, it's something that stayed with me and something that I enjoy to this day.
I know, too, your house burned down and you lost your favorite jazz LPs. But didn't the fans send you a lot of LPs?
Yeah, I had fans giving me LPs. I had a radio station give me their jazz collection. It really was nice having people reach out like they did when I had that misfortune.
I know when you left the game also on your farewell tour, that what was the game that you played with that had all the legends of the Boston Celtics, and everybody had to wear a pair of goggles, did they not, at least at one point, and try a skyhook?
Jeez, I forgot that game. You got me on that one.
Well, I just read something about it, and I found it fascinating. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing with this Raise Your Hoop IQ.
HoopIQ.com is all about me trying to impart some knowledge to this present generation of players. I think their training has suffered in that they don't learn about teamwork and sportsmanship and how the game is supposed to be played by five people working together. That's something that they really don't seem to grasp in any detail, and it's hurt the game. So if you go to our website at HoopIQ.com, you'll see that there are training videos there that break down the game into its component parts, and it enables anybody who wants to learn how to play the game. We go over offense, defense, rebounding, how to shoot the ball, free throws, how to handle the ball, what passing is all about, and just how to approach the game from a team standpoint. It also will enable a team to raise funds by selling my audio CD on the history of the game, and that will absolutely enable them to earn money. Teams need money now to play the game. You need equipment. You need to pay for court time. You need travel expenses. So it will also enable them to do things and earn money and get the funds they need to enjoy the sport that they love.
And again, tell everybody where they can get more information on this, Kareem.
They can get all the information at www.hoopiq.com, HOOPIQ.com.
That is just great. Before I kick you loose here, I know that John Wooden is coming up on 100 years, and I know the coach who, you know, his players are still very, very close to him, and I've had the pleasure and the honor of talking to him in depth over the years. Can you talk a little bit about this man and what he has meant to you, what he has meant to all the players that played for him at UCLA, and just what he has meant to basketball?
Well, it's hard to say what he meant to basketball. As a player, as a coach, you know, both at the college level and the professional level, as a player, and then as a college coach, Coach Wooden has just set standards that aren't going to be equal. And just as a mentor to the guys that played for him, he was extraordinary. He was like another parent for us. He wanted us to get our education and learn how to be good citizens, you know, to go into our lives and know how to be good parents and good husbands. Winning the NCAA championship was icing on the cake for him. You know, how many coaches can you say that about? He was just an extraordinary man. Over 65% of the people who played basketball in the UCLA program got their degrees before they left college. That really says something about what his emphasis was and what he wanted from his players, and it has really improved all of our lives.
What was your impression of him the first time you met him, Kareem?
Well, the first time I met Coach Wooden, I thought he was this quaint guy from the Midwest. He looked like the guy in the old Pepperidge Farm commercials, you know, with the part down the middle of his head. I didn't know what to make of him. He was kind of like an anachronism, you know. He was like out of the 1920s Midwest. But his knowledge of the game was superb. And he also gave us more than just knowledge of the game. You know, he used to be an English teacher. I remember sometimes to be on road trips, I could talk to him about different stuff having to do with academics because I was an English major. He really enabled us to understand how to really mature and go out into the world with some knowledge and some wisdom.
Was his orientation toward team, which you talked about a little bit earlier in witnessing when you were growing up, the Boston Celtics, was that orientation the reason why you ended up at UCLA rather than a school that was closer to home?
I certainly enjoyed the way that UCLA played. You didn't get to see them on TV much, but I saw the NCAA championship game in 64 and 65, and I liked the way they played. I wasn't a real big guy. You know, I was 7 feet tall, but I wasn't what you'd call a bruiser. And the whole idea of basing the game on speed and quickness really appealed to me because that was where my athletic talent lied. So I look forward to playing for him, and I wasn't disappointed.
Final question for you. When you think back on your great career and all that you did in basketball, what is the thing that means the most to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Just enjoying the success that I did and playing for as long as I did, as well as I did, really is a testimony to the people that helped me get there. You know, Coach Wooden, my high school coach, Jack Donahue, even my grade school coach, Farrell Hopkins, they all encouraged me and helped me learn so much about the game and about life. I really owe them a lot.
Kareem, I want to thank you. I've always enjoyed our conversations. They've always been so enlightening, and I hope that you'll come back and again visit with me, and we'll talk more about not only your outstanding career, but the things that you've done in society and the way you've helped other people. Thanks a lot, Kareem.
Thank you.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with us, 20 years in the NBA, playing with the Milwaukee Bucks and also the Lakers, and as I said, the highest scoring player in NBA history at 38,387 points. He won 6 MVP awards in the NBA. We'll take a break as we continue with more of you and Sports Byline.